Okay, good morning, everybody. Let's Bez Hashem Bli Neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David Svi, Ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf is Psachim, daf Vav. We will take it from the top of Vav Amid Aleph, four lines down. Bo'umine me Rava. They asked the question from Rava. Behemas Arnona. If you have an animal that is the king takes a portion of the animals as a tax. So we know there's a halacha that if a Jew and a guy own an animal jointly, it's exempt from bechor. Or if a Jew and a guy own a doe jointly, it's exempt from chala. So the Gemara says, behemas arnona. So in this situation, so you have to give a percentage of all your animals to the king. So chayavis bebechor or ain chayavis bechor. If you have this obligation to pay the king part of it, are you chayav b'chor or not? The Gemara says, if you could pay the king off with money, so he doesn't actually own a piece of the animal because it's really just a debt obligation, you could pay him off with money. I'm not asking kasha. The chayav. Certainly it's chayav in b'chor. Even nowadays, Jewish farmers, you know, when they have an animal, they see he's about to give birth to its firstborn, so they sell a piece of it to a guy. They go in partnership, so they're exempt from b'chor. Ki kamin b'aylan. The question is, in a situation where you can't just pay the king off with money, so you have to pay him with an animal. My, is the king considered to be a part owner in the animal? Amalei Ptura. So Rava said, yeah, you're right, he's exempt. Asks the Gemara Vahatani Chayevas, but we learned in a Braisa that Behemas Anon is Chayevan in Bechor. Answer the Gemara, Hasam Dematzi Misalikle. That's talking about a case where you could pay him off with money. He doesn't have to have the animal. Ikeda Amre. Some had a different version. Amarava Behema is Arnona Ptura Min HaBechora. Va'afal Gav Dematzi Misalikle. The Behema of Arnona, where the king has a portion of the animal, it's exempt from Bechor, even if you could get rid of him with money. However, Isas Arnona, however, a doe that the king takes a portion of the bread as a tax, there, chayevis b'chala, there, even though, afagav delo matzi misalikli, even though you can't pay him off money, you gotta give him bread, nevertheless, it's chayev in chala. The Gemara wants to know why. My taima, behema is lekala, isa les lekala. By an animal, everybody knows that the king has a portion in it, and therefore, the fact that it's exempt is not going to be a problem. But, because people know. But by the dough, less like challah. People don't know that the king gets a portion of it. So if they see you not being mafresh challah, there's going to be a type of maris ayin. People are going to think you don't need to take challah. So even though the king has a portion of it, since it's not very well known, still the Gemara says you should take challah because of maris ayin. Let's continue. Tan Rabbanan. Nachri shenichnas l'chatzei v'shay Yisrael b'tzeiko b'yado. A guy walks into your house on Pesach, and he's carrying cookies. He walks into your house carrying cookies. Ein zakuk levar. So I don't have an obligation to get rid of the guy's cookies, even though he walks into my house with them. Hifkido etzlo. However, if the guy made me a watchman, and I took responsibility to watch them, so if I'm a watcher, then zakuk levar. Then I'm obligated to get rid of them. Yiched lo bayis. However, if I appointed a special place in my house for the guy to place that chametz, ein zakuk levar shenemar lo yimatze. So then, I don't have to get rid of it, as the pasuk says lo yimatze. What? How does lo yimatze prove anything? Says Gemara, Maikar, what does that mean? No, Amar Papa Arishikai. No, because lo yimatze sounds like it's an iser, not a heter. So Gemara says no, Arishikai. Rav Papa says no, it's going back on the beginning of the brisa. Vach Gemara. Hifkido etzlo zakuk levar shenemar lo yimatze. Right. If I take responsibility for it, so then that's a proof that if I take responsibility, so then I got to get rid of it, as it says lo yimatze. I'm not allowed to have chametz in my house that I have responsibility for. Ravashi amar lo lama seifa koy. No, really, you could say it's going on the seifa. V'hachi ka'amar. This is what the Tana meant to say. Yiched lo bayis. If I set aside a specific place in my house for him, ein zakuk levar, I don't have to get rid of it. Shenemar lo yimatzei bebateichem. The Torah says only chametz that's in my possession, I have to take responsibility for. V'halav didehu. However, if I designated a special place in the house for the goy to eat the chametz, so then it's not mine. He has his place. The nachri ki kamayel abeisa denafshi ki kamayel. Because since I designated a special area for the goy in the house, so then it's considered to be his house, and therefore I'm not taking any responsibility for the chametz. It's like he's taking. It's like the guy has the chametz in his own house. Says the Gemara, lememra deschirus kanya. Does this come to tell us that rental is considered to be a legit ownership just because I gave the guy a spot in the house? It's like it's his. It's like it's his spot. I'm like I'm renting him a place in the house, so it's his house, and I'm not chaya for that. Vatnan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Afavakum she'amru lahaskir. Even in certain places like outside Eretz Yisrael or in Syria, where we said that you are allowed to rent houses to a non-Jew, in Eretz Yisrael, you're not supposed to sell a house to a non-Jew. That's one of the three surim of lo sechanim. The Torah says lo sechanim, lo titam chanaya bekarka. You're not allowed to sell property in the land of Israel to a non-Jew. The land of Israel is supposed to be for the Jews. We're not supposed to sell them to non-Jews. So too, you're not allowed to rent an area in Eretz Yisrael to the non-Jews. So, but not afmang should amru lahaskir, even places like outside Eretz Yisrael or in Syria, that you are allowed to rent to a non-Jew, lo lebeis dira amru, but you're not allowed to rent a house to a non-Jew for him to live in it. Mipnei shemachnitzin l'socha avodas kilulim. Because the guy is going to bring Avodah Zarah into the house. And there's an Issa Daraisal Savi Soeva al Beisecha. You're not allowed to bring Avodah Zarah into your house. Now, if you hold renting is like ownership, what's the matter with renting a house to a guy? Let him bring the Avodah Zarah in there all he wants. At the end of the day, it's his house. If you say he's renting it from you, he's the owner. If rental is considered ownership, so then why don't you allow rental to a guy? Let him bring the Avodah Zarah in. Answers the Gemara, no. Really, Schiros does not acquire ownership, and that's why you're not allowed to rent to a guy, because when he brings Avodah Zarah into your house. But here there's a special din machametz. Shani hacha dafki rachana b'loshon lo yimatzei. Misha motzei biyadcha. Yatzezeh sheini motzei biyadcha. You're right, really rental is not like ownership, but there's a special halacha by Pesach that if you rent it out to a guy, so that you, since you don't have the total control over that area, that's not called Bal Yimatzeh. It's not a problem of Bal Yimatzeh. And if the place is rented out, there is a fundamental machlokas Rashi and Tosas on this Gemara over here. Are we talking about over here in the case of Yichei Lo Bais, where I rented the house to you? Is that talking where I did take responsibility for the chametz or I did not take responsibility for the chametz? Take a look at Tosas Yichei Lo Bais. Pirush HaKuntres, Rashi explains Delo Kibel Alav Achrayas. That the whole Gemara of Yichid Lo Bais, where I gave you, that's talking about where the Jew did not take any responsibility for the chametz. And Tosa says that's crazy. So then what do you tell me only if I rent you space in the house that I'm not chayiv? Even if I don't rent space in the house, if I didn't take responsibility, well, because I'm not chayiv in the chametz anyway. What's Rashi talking about? No. Rabbi Natam has different pshat. That's the more simple pshat in the Gemara. No. Even if the Jew took responsibility for the chametz. Even if I took responsibility for the chametz, if the guy is in there and I rent space in the house to the guy, even if I did take responsibility, still I'm not chayiv. Because it's like I rented out the house to the guy. It's like it's his house. His chametz in his house. Rav Papa is the misvar kevin sheyichid lo bayis havi kilu kibel alav achrayis. Rav Papa holds once I'm yichid lo bayis, that's as if I accepted achrayis. But Rashi learns not that way. Rashi learns that we're talking about I did not accept responsibility. And the question here is whether yichid lo bayis, is that considered to be as if I am taking responsibility or I'm not taking responsibility. And, okay, let's continue. Right, the Shagas Aryeh writes, that, so hold on 1 second. So again, so just one more point about this. So the Ramban writes that we're talking about a case where the Nachri was mafkid by Yisrael Bistam. So we didn't establish what level of achrayas I have. So if we didn't say anything, so the Yisrael becomes a shomer chinam, and therefore I become a shomer chinam, and therefore I am chayav on Pesach. However, if I just said harei beisi lufanecha, put your chametz down in one of the houses, so that's not called the kabbalas achrayas. If I say I'm yichid lo bayis, so I'm saying, yeah, you can put your stuff down, but that's not called a kabbalas achrayas. But bistam, the Shagas Aryeh writes, even though normally a guy doesn't have, we don't assume that there's a shmira, that there's chiyuve shmira klape a guy. But the Shagas Aryeh says, bistam, if I don't say anything, so it's like I'm at least chayav for pshia. And if I'm at least chayav for pshia, posheya kamazik, and therefore that is considered to be kabbalas achrayas. Very interesting discussion here about what level of responsibility do you have when it comes to the chametz of a guy in your house, if you don't specifically accept responsibility for it. That's part of the issue that's going on over here. Okay, let's continue. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Hamotzi chametz beisa biyantif. Uh-oh. All of a sudden, you're walking around the house on Pesach. Boom. You find chametz in the house on yantif. Koifa lovasakli. So on yantif, you're not allowed to burn it. It's muktzah, you're not allowed to touch it. So, we're talking about over here, you already were mevatel it. First of all, the chametz is already osar on Pesach. Presumably, you already were mevatel it. But it's muktzah. So, you already mevatel it. That's the way Rashi learns. Remember, Rashi said, once you do bittel, and even if you just did bedik, even without bittel, according to Rashi, even without bittel, so once you did bedikah, you no longer violate Bayer by Yamatzi, because the Ran says, Som chenal chazakos, we'll see in a second. You establish a chazaka. Once you check the house for chametz, even if there's stuff that you didn't find, so you're not going to violate by Rabbi Matzi, either because you did bittel, even if you didn't do bittel, maybe the bedika already takes care of that. Either way, at the end of the day, you're not going to violate by Rabbi Matzi. So it's muktzah, so you're not allowed to touch it, so you're not allowed to move it, so you just kaifa lova sakli. Amar Rava, im shel hektishu ein otzarech. If it belongs to hektish, you don't have to do that. My time in the mivdol bedili minei. People are already going to know to stay away from you because it's hektish. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, chemto shel nachri. If you find chametz of a guy in your house, oselo mechitza asar tefachim mishum heker. So if you have chametz of a guy in your house, which you were not mekabel achrayas for, so you don't violate bayer by matzei, like when you sold the chametz to the guy, so you can't have it wide open. So you have to make a mechitza on erev Pesach, mechitza asar tefachim mishum heker. Right? There's a discussion. Are you allowed to make such a mechitza on Shabbos? We had that in Erevin. Are you allowed to make a mechitza on Shabbos at Yontif? So if it's just Litznias, if it's just a hacker, maybe it shouldn't be a problem. So the Rishonim raised the issue over here. What's the problem? Make the mechitza on Yontif. We discussed that, whether mechitza on the side is considered to be mechitza. That was part of the whole Rashi seems to say only mechitza on top is a problem, making oil on Yontif. Anyway, Pasha Pshat over here is you made it on Erev Yontif. Oselo mechitza asar tefachim mishum hacker. So you shouldn't come to eat it. Imshel hektishu, if it belongs to hektishu, ain't otzarech. My time mivdol bedili shemineh. If it's hektish, not a problem. Now what about if you go to a hotel for Pesach? Remember the old days, people used to go to hotels. So, let's say you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael 4 days before Pesach. Do you have to do bedikas chametz in the house before you go? It's not the night of the 14th. So do you have to do it? And if you do have to do it, do you have to make a bracha or not? So let's see. Amru d'Amarav, Hamafareish Vayotzi B'Shayara, you're going on a long trip before Pesach. Kodem Shloshim Yom Ein Zakuk Levayer. If you're going to leave before 30 days before Pesach, you're not chayv in bedikas chametz. So you don't got to get rid of it. Mitok shloshim yom. But if you leave within 30 days, zakuk levayer. So then you're mechuyv in bedikas chametz if you leave within 30 days before Pesach. What's so special about 30 days? We'll see in a minute. I'll tell you a beautiful chiddush of salvation. Amar Abaye says, Hod amr toch shloshim yom zakuk levayer. This that we said, if you leave your house within 30 days before Pesach, you have to do bedikas chametz, bedik and beer. Lo amaron el shadai to lachsar. That's only if you're planning on coming back on Pesach. Aval ein dai to lachsar, ein zakuk levayer. If you're not planning on coming back on Pesach, then even if you leave within 30 days, you're not have to do bedikas chametz. So that's what Abaye says. Amalei Rava. Rava says, what are you talking about? E dai to lachsar. If you're planning on coming back to your house on Pesach, afil me Rosh Hashanah nabi. Even if you left on Rosh Hashanah, you went away, but you're coming back on Pesach, there's going to be chametz all throughout your house on Pesach? How in the world is that okay? El Amar Rava, no. Hodarmas kodem shloshim yom ein zakuk levayer. This that we said, if you're leaving before 30 days, You don't have to do bedikah b'lo amaron ella she'ein dai to lachzer. That's only if you're not coming back. So if you leave before 30, you're not obligated. I will die to lachzer. But if you're planning on coming back on Pesach, I feel me Rosh Hashanah zakach levar. Even if you leave from Rosh Hashanah, and some say Rosh Hashanah is lav davka even before Rosh Hashanah. Others say no. I feel me Rosh Hashanah zakach levar. Says the Gemara va'az the Rava l'tame. Rava's going according to his own reasoning. Dama Rava ha'ose beisa otzar. The Gemara is going to give you an inkling into what the svara is over here. If a person turns his house into a storehouse, he puts massive amounts of stuff. Rashi says, if you make it, so what if you made your stuff into a storehouse? So you have chametz underneath there, so it's not going to be a problem on Pesach. No, the point is it becomes like chametz shenafla olav mapolis. That's what Rashi says. Right, here's the question. Let's say this chametz fell behind your refrigerator on Erev Pesach. Do you have to move the fridge and go check it for chametz before Pesach? You know there's chametz back there. So, but do you have to move the fridge? The Gemara says, no, you don't violate that. It's like chametz shenafla olav mapolis. If the chametz is like totally, totally inaccessible, it's like the building fell down on your chametz. You don't have to Erev Pesach dig up the whole building and go remove the chametz because it's considered kimavur. That's what the Gemara says later on in Daf Lamed, right? I think Rashi quotes that over here, right? Ha'osa beisa otzer. Take a look at Rashi, two lines on the bottom. Otzer shehichnas shem tvuah v'tachtei chametz. Or meaning, come on, chametz shenafa alav mapolas harehu kimavur. That chametz, that a whole building fell on top of it, it's considered like it's destroyed. So soto over here, ha'osa beisa otza. Let's say you have chametz in the house, but you're turning the house into a storage house for wheat. Kodim shloshim yom. If you turn it into a storage house more than 30 days before Pesach, ein zakach levar. You don't have to do bedikas chametz. You don't have to get rid of the chametz from there. However, tok shloshim yom, zakach levar. If you do it within 30 days, you got to do bedika and beer beforehand. It says the Gemara, v'kodim shloshim nami lo amaron ela she'ein died to lefanoso. And also, if it's before 30 days, so you're not exempt from bedikah and beer unless you're not planning on getting rid of it on Pesach. Aval died to lefanoso. However, if you're going to get rid of the storehouse before Pesach, afilu kodim shloshim nami zokuk levar. Says the Gemara. So here you have the machlokas Abai and Rava. Says the Gemara, hani shloshim nami v'tayah. What's so special about 30 days? Both Abai and Rava said that 30 days plays some role. By the way, what's the defense for Abai? You're going to come back on Pesach? So apparently, even if you're going to come back on Pesach, so we're not worried according to Abai. He says it's considered kimavur, because you already did bittul, and you're going to do bittul, it's considered to be kimavur, even if you're going to come back, it's not a problem. Says the Gemara, hani shloshim yom maya v'detayu. So what's so special about 30 days? The Rava says if you're going to leave within 30 days, even if you're not going to be in the house all Pesach long, if you leave within 30 days, you're mechuyev to do bedikah chametz. What's so special about 30 days? Kedesani says the Gemara, sholom v'dorish milchus ha-Pesach, kodem ha-Pesach shloshim yom. It's the main sugi that you're supposed to learn the halachas of the holiday 30 days before the holiday. This is the source in Shas. 30 days before the holiday, you're supposed to start learning the halachas of the day. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer shtei shabbosos. Yeah, but the question is, what does that have to do with it? Very nice. So there's halacha, you're supposed to learn the halachas 30 days before, so therefore you're chayv in bedikas chametz. So if Salvation said an amazing chiddush, he said like this, since 30 days before the holiday, you're supposed to start learning the halachas, so memela, so that's when the leidas hasafek of chametz in your house starts. The time when your chametz is halachically considered to be chametz. What do you mean? So let me ask you a question. I'm going to eat a piece of bread today. Is it called chametz? No, it's not called chametz. It's not Pesach. If it's not Pesach, you don't got to worry about chametz. So the second you have to start worrying about Hilchas Pesach, that's when there's a leidas asafik. It's considered halachli chametz. Memela said of Salvechik, that's why 30 days before you mechuyim bedikas chametz. Wow. What a chiddush. Amazing. Rabbi Shimon Willis says, Shtei Shabbosis. Shtei Shabbosis. Now, the problem with this Gemara is there's a Gemara in Megillah that says, the Gemara in Megillah says, you're only supposed to learn the halachas on Yontif. Hilchas Pesach be Pesach, Hilchas Chag be Chag. The Gemara in the end of Megillah. Everybody has to steer. Right? Everybody has to steer. How come over here it says you're supposed to learn the halachas 30 days before? And over there, here it says he's supposed to learn 30 days before, and over there in Megillah, In Megillah, it says only on Yontif. There it says only on Yontif. So there are many answers to this kasha. Many answers. So there's a famous Ran in the Rit for the Rashba. They say that our Gemara just means, not that within 30 days you have to start learning. You're only supposed to learn the halachas of Yontif on Yontif. But 30 days before means if a Talmud asks a Rebbe a Shaila, you're supposed to respond to, he's considered to be a Shoel Ke'inyan if he asks about the Yontif. Not that you have a Chiyuv to learn. But if two Talmudim ask a Shaila, one of them asks about Yontif, one of them asks about something else, you're supposed to first listen to the one about Yontif 30 days before. Others say one of them is talking about learning the halachas, and the other one is darshaning from the themes of the Yontif. That's why some say the gears over here is Shaolin, and there it's Darshan. So to make drushas on the Yontif is only on Yontif. There are some other beautiful answers. Give me one second. There's some other really beautiful answers to this. Give me one second. What's the other beautiful answer? The other beautiful answer is, give me 1 minute. Two other beautiful answers. One of them was from the Balatanya. Let's see the other beautiful answers. Here we go. 1 second. I'll even let you see it with me also. We'll do a little fancy sharing of this screen. Here we go. What do we have over here? So who else do we have? The Meiri. The Meiri says that when our Gemara says, not only are you supposed to learn the halachas, but kolt sarche hayontif start to worry about 30 days before. So according to that, we understand very well why Bedikas Chametz is chayav them as well. And the Rambam says that the din over there in Megillah, that's about the Kriyas HaTorah. The Kriyas HaTorah has to be Me'ein the Yontif, right? And the Netziv explains, right, special din of Kriyas, or the Magen Avram writes, the Chilak is that, right, I said that before, that the Halachas is before 30 days, that's the Magen Avram. The Halachas is before 30 days, and on Yontif is the Drushas about the themes, the Agadas of the day. And the Baal HaTanya said, even if you learn the halachas 30 days before, the Gemara in Megillah is telling you there's halacha to chaz them on Yontif b'shas Maisa. You got to chaz them on Yontif when they're really nagei la Maisa. Right. Okay. Good. Let's continue. Here we go. Let's continue. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says only 2 weeks. My time at the Tanakama. Where'd you get the 30 days from? Says the Gemara, where'd you get the 30 days from? Shari Moshe. Omid b'Pesach Rishon. Umazir Pesach Sheni. Moshe was standing on Pesach Rishon and warning Klal Yisrael about the laws of Pesach Sheni. So you see, it's 30 days. Moshe Neimar. Vayasu bnei Yisrael sa Pesach b'maado. Uksiv ayen Hashem shayu tmeil lenefesh adam. Right. So it says over there in Bamidbar Perek Tes, they start that they did Karban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, and then they learned the laws of Pesach Sheni, the 14th of Iyar. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amalach. I did Ira Mila Pisca, Masa called me the Pisca. That's not a raya. Just once we were talking about the laws of Pesach, he talked about Pesach Sheni. Not because of Shloshim and Kodim Achad. My time in Shim Gamliel, what does he get the 2 weeks she from? Shay Moshe Omid Barosh Chodesh. Rosh HaKodesh. Moshe in Mitzrayim was standing on Rosh Chodesh. He was standing on Rosh Chodesh. Moshe was standing on Rosh Chodesh. And he was warning about the laws of Pesach already on Rosh Chodesh. Shay Moshe. Omid Barosh Chodesh, Umazir Ala Pesach, which is 2 weeks later. Shinemar, Achodesh Azelachem, Rosh Chodashim, Uksiv, Dabril called Isil, Himor, Basil, Achodesh, Yiklamish, Selavos, Selabayas, Selavay Savos, Gomer. 2 weeks before, he warned him about the Pesach, so you see 2 weeks. Says Gomer, my Debarish Yachakoi, Dumu Ba'arba, Biyacha, Bahamisha, Yachakoi. Maybe he was on the 4th or 5th of the month. Elamar Rabbah Shimish made the Ravina, Mehacha. So Moshe warned about in the Midbar, Moshe warned about Pesach 2 weeks before Rosh Chodesh. Says Gemara, how do you know it was Rosh Chodesh? Maybe it was the 4th or 5th of Nisan. I mean, it's like no, Asi Midbar mi Midbar. Be'echad l'chodesh hasheni, ma'alaham b'rosh chodesh, afkam b'rosh chodesh. Says the Gemara, V'nichtav b'reisha d'chodesh rishon v'harda nichtav b'chodesh sheni. Why does the Torah in Bamidbar go out of order? If you look at the beginning of Bamidbar, the beginning of Bamidbar is Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Rosh Chodesh Iyar, right? V'aydaber Hashem Moshe b'mimai Sinai b'echad l'chodesh ha-sheni. Right? V'harda nichtav d'chodesh sheni. So, v'nichtav b'reisha d'chodesh rishon v'harda nichtav b'chodesh sheni. Why does the Torah go out of order in Bamidbar? That it starts from Iyar and then in Baloscha, it goes back to Nisan. The Torah is out of order. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Dechliv Mishmei Derav Zos Omeres Ein Muktam Umuchar BaTorah. This teaches us the rule that the reason the Torah goes out of order is to teach us that not everything in the Torah always goes in chronological order. Amar Papalo Amar Ela Betrei In Yana. That's only in two different parshas. Avol Bechad In Yana. Within one parsha, everything's in order. Ma'ay Demuktam Muktam U'ma'ay Demuchar Muchar. How do we know this? The Ilote Machi, the Gemara has a funny riot of this. If you don't say this way, klal uprat. We know that when we have a general rule followed by a specific rule, ein bechlal alamashe beprat. The way we dashen it is that we ignore the general word. We assume that the specific word is modifying the general word. Says Gemara, dilma prat uklalu. How do you know every klal? How do you know a klal uprat is a klal uprat? Maybe it's really a prat uklal. It's just out of order. Funny riot. Says Gemara, vesu prat uklal. Usually you have a specific word followed by a general word. We assume the general word is expanding on the specific word. Dilma klalu pradu. Says Gemara. So maybe that's not only within one topic. Maybe you should say the same thing even in two topics. Shaper. If you hold that a klalu prat that are far away from each other, we don't learn them as a klalu prat, so then it makes sense. El aman darmer done it, but if you hold even in two parshas, your ladder length, so it's the same problem. Michael Amemar says the Gemara, feel aman darmer done, and even if you hold a klal uprat that are far away from each other, you can learn as a klal uprat. Hani mili bechad in yona, but it's still got to be the same topic. Avol betray in yone, everyone agrees, ain't done it. If it's two totally different topics, so then everyone agrees we do not learn a klal uprat. This is the general machlokas, Rashi and Ramban and Chumash, about whether or not we usually apply the rules of ein muktam uchar batorah. Rashi everywhere in Chumash keeps saying ein muktam uchar batorah. The Ramban says no. The Ramban says the Torah usually follows an order, right? Like whether or not the commandment to build a mishkan follow the chet ha'egel or not. So in the Torah we have truma tetzava then kisisa vayakal pekudei. So Rashi says it's all out of order because the mishkan was there to atone for the chet ha'egel. How can you say the mishkan was there to atone for the chet ha'egel if in the Torah you have the mishkan comes before the chet ha'egel? How can it atone for it? So Rashi says, Ein muktam uchar batorah. The Ramban says, no, it was in order. It was in order. You can't say that, Pshat. It was all in order. However, the Ramban agrees in a case where the Torah is specific, the Torah actually says it's out of order, then, obviously, as the Ramban agrees that if the Torah specifically states it's out of order, then obviously the Torah is out of order. It said it's out of order. But the Abar Ben El says, he says, even where the Torah says it's out of order, even there it's not out of order. Because even in Bamidbar, like I said before, he says, no, really the Torah is in order. I in Balosa goes back to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. No, that was only to explain the laws of Pesach Sheni. So it wanted to explain the laws of Pesach Sheni. So it started, when I'm telling you about Pesach Sheni, it started about Pesach Rishon. But not that the Torah actually went out of order. It's just because the Torah was going over the laws of Pesach Rishon, even where the Torah is explicitly out of order, the Barbanel says it's not out of order. Even where it's explicitly out of order, it's not out of order. Okay, let's continue. Omar Rav Yehuda Marav. Habodek Tzarech Sheyivatel. Okay, we're going to start this sugya. We're not going to finish it. We're going to stop in the middle of it, which is fine. Habodek Tzarech Sheyivatel. When you do Bedikas Chametz, you have to do Bittel. When you do Bedikah also at night, you have to do Bittel. My timer. Why is that? You're doing bedikas chametz. You're getting rid of all the chametz. Why do you got to do bittel? Inema mishum pirurin. Maybe there'll be some crumbs that you won't be able to get in the bedika. Halo chashive ubatle. Crumbs are not chametz. Tell your wives, chiddush this Pesach. You don't violate bayir or bayir matzah for crumbs. Everyone's always like scrubbing to get rid of the crumbs. You don't violate. Now again, if a crumb falls into your food, that's a problem. You're not allowed to eat crumbs. because even chametz is not batel b'mashu. But in terms of bayira b'yimatzei, you don't violate bayira b'yimatzei for crumbs. It's not chashiv. Halacha l'maisa. I'm saying if you have crumbs in it, it's batel. It's batel. You don't violate bayira. Halacha shivei. They're batel by themselves. V'chitem it came into mitel agav basic. Maybe you'll say, since the crumbs are watched by the house, chashivei, that makes them chashiv. It's not true. We learned in Tosefta, Vatanya, sofei te'enim, the garbage figs, the stuff that's left over at the end that nobody, they didn't fully ripen and nobody cares about them. They're not chashiv. U'mishamis adeim b'nei anovim, but you're still watching your field because of the good grapes that are in there. Or sofei anovim, the garbage grapes at the end of the harvest that nobody cares about. They're not chashiv, they're batel. U'mishamis adeim b'nei kishuim b'nei midlos, but you're watching the field because of the kishuim, the zucchinis, the gourds, or the pumpkins. So b'zman shebaal habayis makbid aleihem, if you care about both of them, so then asur mishum gezel, then people are not allowed to steal them. V'chayon b'maiser, and they're chayv and maiser, they're not hefker. B'zman she'ein baal habayis makbid aleihem, if the baal habayis doesn't care about them, even though he's watching his field for something else, they're hefker mutar beget mishum gezel, there's no problem of gezel. U'putur mishum maiser, even though you're watching the field for something else, just because you're watching them doesn't make them chashuv. So the crumbs also, even though the crumbs are in your house, so they're protected, doesn't make a difference. At the end of the day, nobody cares about crumbs. It's not chashev, so you don't violate bayir matzei. So why in the world do you got to do bittel for? Amar Rava, gezeir, what are we afraid about? We're afraid if you don't do bittel, you just do batik and beer, maybe you missed something. Gezeir shem yimtza gluska yafa, not a crumb. Maybe you missed something chashev, a piece of cake. V'dayti ilaveh, and if you find it on Pesach, for a split second, you're going to say, oh man, Pesach, it's already the sixth day of Pesach. And I found a geschmack, a piece of Entenmann's cheese buns. And what are we afraid of what's going to happen? You're going to look at it. And for a split second, you're going to say, oh, I would love to eat this. And you're going to forget it's Pesach for a second. You're going to say, oh, I'd love to eat it. And in that second, you're going to be machshiv it. So it's like you're going to roll back. Even though you did bedikah, v'dayti laveh, you're going to want it. And you're not going to burn it on that spot. And you're going to violate bayir b'yimatzei. So the Rishonim say this implies that just doing bedikah alone, right? Like Rashi said, just doing bedikah and beer alone. In other words, we're afraid of da'iti lave. What do you mean? What do you mean? Why don't you violate, even if you wouldn't have da'iti lave? Just the fact that you found that piece, if you wouldn't do bittel, you just did bedikah and beer, you found a good piece of, why wouldn't you violate bayir b'yimatzei? Sounds like Rashi said before, that just doing bedikah chametz by itself, that itself gets rid of the problem of bayir b'yimatzei. We said before in the Chiddush Ha'aran, soimchen ala chazakos, that once you do bedikah and beer, even if you left over big pieces of stuff that you missed, you still wouldn't violate bayir b'yimatzei unless you da'iti lavei. Once you're machshev, once you thought for a split second that I wanted, only at that moment you'd violate bayir b'yimatzei. But before you wouldn't. So some say this is a raya that you don't violate bayir b'yimatzei and chametz she'eino yodua. That's one way of looking at this. You don't violate bayir b'yimatzei, stuff that you didn't know about, you don't violate bayir b'yimatzei. Why? Because somchen ala chazakos. The Ran says, once the house is becheskas checked, even if you have big pieces of cake in there, you don't violate. That's why it's v'dayti lave. It's only dayti lave. That's a tosis later on, chaf alef amad alef. Tosis later on, you don't violate bal yirah b'yimatzei chametz she'eino yodua. It's a riot from this Gemara. If I don't know where the chametz is, it's not considered to be mine. However, the Ran says, no. If you don't do bedika, you violate even on the chametz she'eino yodua. But if you do bedika, so saimchen ala chazakos. And the Rosh Yosef writes, no, in the name of the Rosh and the Tur, if you have chametz in your rishus after the bedika, you do violate it b'shogeg, even if you won't find it. And that's why we got to do bittel. So he says that when our Gemara says shema yimtzes lav dafka, it means not maybe you'll find it. It means maybe they'll be in your house. Maybe there'll be chametz in your house. That's exactly why you got to do bittel. Fine. Asks the Gemara, v'chi mishkachas le'levade, why you got to do bittel when you do bedikas chametz? You'll do bittel when you find it. Says Gemara, no. Dilma mishkachas le'lebaser yisura, v'lav rishus he'kaimet. No. If you find it on Pesach, it's no longer in your rishus. V'lo matzi mevatel. And you won't be able to do bittel on it. Once it's out of your rishus, you can no longer do bittel. It's not yours anymore. Chametz is not yours anymore. And you still violate bayir b'yimatzei, even though it's not yours. That's the chiddush of chametz. Why is it not yours? It's aser b'hanah. Once chametz is aser b'hanah, it's valueless. Anything valueless is not considered to be yours. So here's the paradox of chametz. Once Pesach comes, it's not worth anything. It's aser ba'anah, so it's valueless. So you don't own it. So how do you violate Bahir Abayi Matzah? Oh, says the Gemara. If it's not yours, why do you violate Bahir Abayi Matzah? So that's what the Gemara says.
There's
two things that you don't own, but the Torah says it's as if you own it. A bar b'rishus harabim and chametz from 6 hours and on, chametz after the sixth hour, even though you don't own it, you still violate bar by matzah. Says the Gemara, okay, so why do you got to do bedik? Why do you got to do bittel when you do bedikah? V'nivatle ba'arba, v'nivatle b'chametz. Why do you do bittel at the fourth hour, the fifth hour? Says the Gemara, kevan de lav zman yisurahu, v'lav zman biyurahu, since it's not the zman iser, and not the zman biyur, dil ma'pasha v'lo mevatle. We're afraid, what, 10 o'clock in the morning, you're going to forget to do bittel. So the next line of the Gemara is going to ask, why don't you do bittel right at chatzos? Let's do bittel right, because that's the zman iser, you'll remember. So we'll pick that up as Hashem tomorrow night, right after Shabbos. 85 minutes after Shkia. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Rabbeinu, have a wonderful Shabbos.